Welcome to Geeks of the North, a hobby and gaming podcast in the Dolph of Angus. We're here to paint some miniatures and talk about the hobby, so why don't you sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to Geeks of the North, your hobby and gaming podcast in the Dolph of Angus. As always, I'm your host, Paul Filio, here with my co-host, Antoine Bergeron. Hey Antoine, how's it going tonight?
Good, you?
It's going pretty good. All things considered. Well, you know. We are living through the snowpocalypse right now, so. Well, that's what they're calling for. I have to tell you, I'm not terribly impressed so far.
Yeah, is it still snowing?
Not here.
Either.
Like all the schools are closed. Like, everything's shutting down tomorrow. Yeah. And I think the snow's already over. But maybe we'll get a surprise in the night. Who knows? Maybe we'll wake up tomorrow and, like, 2 feet of snow happened.
Yeah.
We were none the wiser because we were asleep.
Mm-hmm.
These things happen. I was going to say something witty, but I don't know what it was. So I guess it wasn't that witty. So, this evening, I am working on a little bit of Judgment. I've got the Rekhir model from the starter set. I believe he is a orc assassin. I am throwing some colors on him. I had done some color blocking by airbrush last night because I wanted to see if I could still do stuff like that without masking anything. The answer appears to be yes. And it kind of gave me an idea for where I wanted to go with him. So now I'm trying to take him there.
That's good.
Yeah. He's, I think I may have mentioned this a second ago, but I don't recall. But he's one of the plastic models from the starter box. I have the resin version of him as well.
Oh, I was going to ask because I thought you had ordered the resin one.
I had. But then I was looking at the starter set. I was at Captain Con this past weekend and Muse on Minis was there.
Oh, they were there. Okay.
Yeah. And I was talking with Nigel. And they only had the Judgment starter. They didn't have any of the models, which may have saved my bank account. And I was looking at it and I was like, you know what? There's one model there I don't have. And I had found out that there are maps that are coming out in some of the 5e5s that use two monsters. So they use two of Gloom or two of Ashtooth.
Yep.
So having a second Gloom wasn't a bad idea. And he comes in the starter as well. So I decided to pick up the starter. And then when I got home, I played a game of, I'll get into that, but I played a bit of Judgment while I was down there. And I kind of got in the itch again. So I was like, well, you know what? I'll just pick up the starter and I'll have a second Rekhir here. And when I got home, I needed to paint something right away. So I grabbed the plastic Rekhir here because, no assembly required.
Oh, he's pre-assembled in the box?
Yeah, they're pre-assembled. And they're actually, they look better than they did in the pictures. I know when we first saw the pictures of them, they looked like there was giant gaps.
Yep. I remember
now,
that.
Now I only see one giant gap, which I probably should have fixed before I started painting. But hey, why start now?
Yeah.
You've
never done that.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I looked at it last night. It didn't seem so bad.
Mm-hmm.
But then with primer, you can't tell. Then as soon as I start putting color on them, and then especially in the picture I took this morning, I was like, oh my goodness, that is a giant patch of gapness there. But a little late to worry about it now. And if I wanted to worry about it, I don't think I have any green stuff. So I keep meaning to buy some and I keep not really seeing any. And I tried to order some from a supplier and they were out. So
that sure doesn't help.
Nope. It does not. Yeah. So that is what I'm working on. Mr. Rekhir. He's a sexy orc assassin. What about you, Anton? What are you working on?
I'm working on a commission from which I can't really talk about. A sculpting commission. So that's not that great for a podcast.
Okay.
Well. But I finished the buddy this week, the generic buddy. So I did a quick partial cure in the oven, and now I'm working on the accessories for it, like equipment.
Yeah, I get that. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. So I wish I could talk about it because it's a fun project.
Well, I wish you could talk about it too, because then our show would have content
soon. Soon,
but I guess.
I think I don't think we'll be lacking for content this show. Just hobby content.
Yeah, exactly.
So speaking of hobby, what have you done this week, hobby wise?
Well, this week, since last week, not much because I fell ill last week. When did we record last week?
Late, like Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah, and I was just getting over it, so that kind of put me behind the eight ball for hobby progress. I did finish my kill team, which I think I'd finished maybe on the last show, and that was really about it. I went away to Captain Con, so I didn't get much hobby progress done there. I was playing games. But we get to the gaming portion of this. I have played a metric butt ton of games in the last week, which for me is very strange and wondrous.
Yes.
I am not complaining, believe me.
Going do you want to cons talk? And play game sure sounds strange for you.
Oh, I guess I'm not painting with that paint.
Pasty?
No, solid giant chunk at okay. The neck of the proper bottle. Yep. Well, I pulled out paints I hadn't used in years. Surprise! Toast. That's okay. We'll improvise.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some something rather here, Minoth White Base. That will probably not look anything like I want, but I'll add some something to it, and I'll get it where I need it to be. Oh, except...
It's acetic plug, too.
Yep. That's 2P3 paints in a week. That's never happened before. I wonder if they froze or something. Well, that's two I need to buy now. Yeah, do you want to go into your hobby in games, and then we'll go back to the con?
Yeah, sure. You'll have a lot of stuff to talk about anyway, so. Yeah, hobby-wise, I continued sculpting. The commission piece I'm working on, but also on the witch. I pretty much finished the tail. I was working on the tail, I think, last time we recorded. But my problem was I did it more square-ish.
Oh, right, and you were talking about how you were going to have to, like, redo the other parts of the model to make it match the style.
Like the fingers on the wings, the feathers that kind of hacks like fingers. But in the end, I decided to round a bit the feathers on the tail instead because it looked too square and it didn't really fit. So I was looking at the rest of the model that's more rounded and it looked out of place, so I rounded it a bit, worked on okay. The finishing the wings. I started doing the eyes, but I'm not happy with them, so I'll have to redo that part, which is the fun part about not using green stuff and using
bees putty,
a clay. So I'll just reflatten that and start over again. I need to do some sketches. I'm not too sure exactly what look I want to use. I've done some research for Cartoon Crows, and I have good reference piece. So the pieces that I found don't have hats, and that's a part of the problem I have, because I don't have as much space in the face because of that.
Right.
But I'm going to be okay, I think.
Oh, I'm sure you will. I mean, yeah. Your sculpts don't disappoint, Antoine. You're not always maybe happy with them, but they've never disappointed any of the rest of us. So.
Mm-hmm. So, I did a bit of work on that, and I really didn't be much. For the past few weeks, there's been a lot of work in the evening and house stuff. So, and combined with trying to go to bed a bit earlier, that's better for madness. My life, but it's not positive for the hubby time.
It's madness, Antoine. What are you doing?
Madness, yeah. I've been watching a couple of movies with my wife. We're looking at doing sports together. Wow.
What? Relationship?
Yeah.
Hold on. That doesn't sound right.
Yeah. But, yeah. The other thing I did, I've assembled some... I did some paper craft. So...
Origami Antoine. That's what we're going to call you from now on.
Yeah, sure. I've printed a couple of buildings. Well, in fact, I modified it, but it's the derelict commercial building by, and now I'm going to destroy the name, Stoilzil Structures.
Oh, I got nothing.
I'll put it in the show notes. it's a maker of colored PDF to print, to make buildings. So you print the exterior parts, glue that on foam core, and can assemble them, your buildings that way.
Okay.
And they are pretty nice. They even do interiors. They do levels. I didn't do that. I just did the outside part. And the building was a bit big for my use, but it was possible to just cut the longest side in the middle, and the building still made sense because there were two entry points. So I did two smaller buildings by just printing the sides twice to have
double sides. Yeah.
So fair. I just cut the two long sides and the roof in two and used the double shorter sides twice. And I was able to do two buildings by just using, one, two, three, five sheets of paper, something like that. And not doing the interior helped. And there were some accessories I could put on the top that I didn't do. I wanted something quick because I had a game of Pulp City with Yom over the weekend.
And you can't have Pulp City without a city.
Yeah, I have some terrain for modern, but not that much. So looking at what I had, I realized that I would have to use a lot of non-thematic buildings.
Well, I mean, those buildings are probably also very good for, like, Batman or something, too, if we decide to...
Oh, yeah, they would
fit.
Yeah, for sure. But the rest of what I have wouldn't.
Yeah.
And also, everything that I have is more... almost everything else I have is more medieval in style, and everything has
it's like we're fantasy gamers
before. Shaped a triangle roof, slanted roof.
Yeah.
So you can put stuff on it, but with a game that's as 3D as Pulp City is, having access to the roof helps. So having at least some buildings that have flat roof makes the game more enjoyable. So those two,
because you can climb up to the roofs and do stuff, right?
Yep, so. Yeah. To roof, to balconies. I have one of the building by locals, MC Studio. Different local company, MC Studio, and they did a small line of modern terrain, and there is a balcony on a small house, and that's fun because you can put one of the smaller based model on there on the way to going to the the roof, or it makes for a small sniper point or control point at least. So I have one of those. I added the two derelict building. They are on, I don't, I mentioned the company name. I don't know if I mentioned where they are available. They're on the Wargame Vault website. They do a bunch of PDF war games there. And they have some STL files, but also a lot of PDF, either for maps or for terrain that you can print. And that one, the Derelict Commercial Building, is their free sample. So if you want to try out, it was my first time really doing paper terrain like that. And
it came out really nice, I'll be honest.
Yeah, I was not expecting much, and it came out better, even with me cutting corner and going fast. So they look pretty good, and I went fast. I didn't calculate exactly well my cuts, so there are some... Like, the corners are not exactly straight. I could probably color the... Yes. Edges, so they wouldn't be white, sharp white on like a red brick pattern. But even with those mistakes, they look really good on the table. So and that's like free is a lot cheaper than anything else.
Yes, usually.
And I have spare, foam core from like other projects.
We're gamers. We always have spare foam core.
Yeah, and Yom's sister worked at a museum, and she prepared exhibits and stuff like that. So they always have extras that are too small to use for what they do. So she used to stack them for us for the club. To work on buildings for either any of your games. So I have piles of extras like that.
Better it gets used than going to the garbage, right?
Yep, exactly. So I tried that free one, and with how fun it was to build and how well it came out, I'll probably look at some of the paying one. Like, they're pretty cheap. It's like $5 or something like that for most of them. Most of the size I would need, at least. So,
a worthwhile investment.
Yeah. I don't need much for a Pulp City game. It's a 2x2 or 3x3 for the bigger format. So
yeah.
Just adding two or three more buildings on the table of different size would already fill out pretty well. So that was my fun project. I need to find a better way to put the glue on. Like, find some of the small foam roller, maybe. And get new glue. My glue was full of, dried chunk and stuff like that. So I had a lot of cleanup to do when I tried to apply it.
Oh. Like, you're using, like it's PVA glue, right?
Yeah. A huge tub
gallon jug, yeah.
Probably, like, something like 12 years.
that would do it. Yep.
Yeah. So, but it did the work, and I'm happy with it. And we were able to play, and we had more building on the table, which was a good point.
That is really cool.
So, do you want to talk about that game, or? We're going to your trip. Your trip is going to be longer.
Probably. No. Let's talk that game, and then we can talk about our little Kill Team game we played last week. Oh, wait, no, that was the week before.
No, the week before. We even we already did a show on that. So.
Yeah. I'm all lost. Yeah. Let's talk about your game with Yom.
Okay, so...
Tell me all about the Pulp City.
Yeah, Yom and I couldn't attend Captain Con, so we decided to have a game during the weekend. Kind of a Captain Kent, to use the Gen Kent hashtag, popular hashtag that modifies it. And he told me to choose a game, and I decided to go with Pulp City because during the early days I painted one of the kids' dinosaur toy to try a monster game, because the game usually works, you have two crews of 5 to 6 models. They fight together, fight against each other, standard skirmish game. But there is a variant where you have one team of Supremes that will fight a giant monster that's invading and rampaging in the city. And I had never tried that variant. So I did that giant monster, did a special base, custom base for it during the holidays. But the other person that wanted to play with me wasn't available, and it just went on by the wayside. But this game this weekend was the occasion to get it out. And it was so much fun. I love Pulp City. That's one of, if not my favorite game. And playing the monster variant was so cinematic and crazy. And I lost. And it was a...
Well, hold on. Were you playing the monsters or were you playing the...
No, I was playing my ARC, the Ape Revolution community that was trying to stop the rampaging monster. It seemed like a solid loss. In the end, it was 3 points to 2 points. So the
Oh, so a lot closer than you thought.
Yeah, the scenarios are not symmetrical. Like, the monster has one thing to do. There's three different, what they call agendas. So we picked one, which was to destroy at least 4 buildings in the city to get his 4 points. His full points of 3 agenda points. Mines are all different, and I have to get civilians out of the zone, do some damage to the monster, try to keep a certain amount of my Supremes alive, and stuff like that. So
it was not necessarily a balanced scenario.
No, but none of the monster scenarios are balanced. So yeah, the monster has one goal, and you are trying to stop it.
What's the term for that in 40K? Not cinematic. There's scenarios that aren't balanced that are supposed to be narrative. It's a narrative game.
Oh, yes, for sure.
So I had to think for a second. I could not remember the term.
Yeah. It was really fun. The monster at first seemed just unstoppable. But as the game went, he took some damage, started to slow down. It was still super destructive. And the game was fun. Like, he destroyed the first building by throwing a fire truck and a fire hydrant at it. He didn't even go base to base with it and start munching at it. He was able to just destroy it by throwing stuff.
Missile weapons.
Yeah, yeah. Because the monster doesn't have ranged weapons, but in that game you can throw stuff. So
wait, hold on. I've seen what a Tyrannosaurus Rex looks like. Those little short arms, how did it pick up a fire truck and throw anything?
Dino bites.
Oh. Well, fair enough. Okay.
Yeah. He can pick up stuff with his belt and throw it that way. Yeah, the small arms don't do anything. Yeah. And it was so much fun. After he destroyed the last building, I still had 50% of my Supreme. But one, and so we were tied, I think, at that point, 3-3. But one of my Supreme that's called, what's it called? The Lemur. I'm drawing a blank. It's 3 small, cat burglar lemurs.
Lemurs.
Yep. Lemurs. And they can, spawn when one of them is killed. They have ability that's called Mirror Image, and they can spawn one again. So the turn before, I had one on the side of the board that was escorting a civilian out. And I was down to only one of them. So I was able to twice use the Mirror Image, and you put that 6 inches, up to 6 inches away. So did a chain of lemurs to get in base to base with the monster to generate a gang up bonus. For close combat, which totally failed. I flubbed my attack roll the turn after, but still, the turn after, he was able to attack the lemurs, or I think I moved first. I don't remember exactly. But with successive move, because a monster can move quite often up to six times in a turn, he just trampled over my lemurs as they were going away until the last one was about out of reach, and the monster was able to grab a tree and launch it at his head and kill the final third lemur and prevent me from getting the other backs. And that brought me down to below my half level of supremes and lost one of my agenda points that way.
Yeah, that game sounds so awesome. The demo I played of that game, like, was so much fun. That was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I really regret that I never bought into it.
Yeah. Like, that game, Yom had model for some time now. I think he bought them right after Captain Con last year, where he played a game, I think, with Devin. Not too sure with whom he played.
But it was Devin.
He got a demo with Devin. And we had somebody local who had extra teams, so he bought one of them, but didn't work on them. But after this game, he's been looking at the models. He's been
he's planning
shopping for some of the minions.
Oh, yeah, he's looking for bases henchmen and stuff.
He's missing bases. So he's really looking forward to playing more of it.
I saw that today, that he was shopping for ninjas.
Yeah, and I'm looking for other monsters. There's 9 monsters template in the book, and we played with the basic. There's 3, like, level 1 monster, the small one where you play only 12 levels of Supreme under table, but you can go up to 24 level, which is a giant monster that would require to fight. The base go up, the power level go up. And it's super varied. Like, you have the Pterosaur, which is a giant dinosaur. You have, like, aquatic cyclops, a King Kong type giant gorilla, a fire demon, alien overlord invader, a giant snake robot. The list just goes on. And with all different ways to impact the game and destroy the city. And there's multiple scenarios for the monsters too, so just playing the game will be fun, but now that we've tried the monster game and how much of a blast it is, we're looking forward to getting more monsters.
It's too funny.
And as the game go up, like, if we played one of the bigger, like the 18 or 24 Supreme levels monsters, a 2 versus 2 is probably too big. The 1-on-1 is probably too big of a team. But we could play a 3-player game where 2 teams of Supremes tag team to fight the monster.
Try to fight the monster?
Yeah.
That could be very cool.
Yeah. And we could do some narrative campaigning, because they could be non-friendly team, but they have a truce. And
together for the purpose of, yeah.
Yeah, and there could be a follow-up game where they try to fight for the remains on one of the objective-based, like, loot retrieval scenario for the generic game. And there's so much potential.
There's no point in taking over the world. There's no world to take over.
Yeah.
So, I understand.
Yeah, so it was a blast. Really, it was so much fun.
It sounds like you guys had a great time.
Yep,
I was watching for posts from you guys that night. That was that Friday?
That was Saturday. Saturday night.
Yeah, that's right. Because I was looking for stuff during my kill team tournament. No, I'm glad you guys had a good time. Sorry you couldn't make it to Captain Con. It would have been fun to have you there. I guess I'll talk about Captain Con.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I went down with our buddy Steve, the good old B Steve. he was primarily going down for Guild Ball. I was going down for a bunch of different things. So they had a, they had what, 3-4 Guild Ball tournaments over the course of the weekend. It was pretty epic. There, I had signed up for the Friday, tournament, and it was a qualifier for the finals on Saturday night. So I went into this. It was 38 people, I think, in the end.
Wow.
Yeah. It was quite big, quite popular. We ran into some people we'd played at the New England team tournament, which is always fun. They remembered us. We were the Canadian guys.
Did you have your Team Poutine t-shirt?
I did not. I thought when I was there, but I was like, oh, well, too late now. We're already here. I don't want to go into too many details because I'm sure when we record Guilds of the North this week, we'll give a blow-by-blow in painful detail of the tournament experience. I will just say that I had a lot of fun. I played a lot of great people. And I lost in such a spectacular way the whole day that the company is sending me a new army to play. That's how you know that you did bad. It was a 3-round event. I lost all 3 rounds. It wasn't even close. And I finished the tournament in last place. It was a little surprising, I'm not going to lie. I never claimed to be the best Guild Ball player ever, because I'm far from that.
But you do manage to have some pretty good games around here.
Yeah, but even at other events, like, I've done okay. At the team tournament, I got pummeled a little bit. I won 1 out of 3 games. But I was also fed to the wolves, right? That was the point. I was the guy that was going to try to eke out the unlikely win in the matchups I played at that event. So yeah. I wasn't really expecting to win. I didn't go into any expectations of going to the finals or anything. I don't play that competitively, and I'm not playing the most competitive team. But I did not expect to get skunked 3 games in a row. I'm not going to blame my dice or blame anything except me, because it was really all about me. I had some unlucky rolls, but that happens to everyone in every game. So I can't just say it was that. I made some very poor decisions, and those types of game decisions where you make them and you're like, wow, that's a really bad idea. I shouldn't have done that. And then the next turn, something gets deleted and you're like, haha, see, I told me I shouldn't have done that. Yep. But that's okay. Like I said, it was great fun overall. And that was the first day of the event. Then, let's see. What else did I do that day? I had a late night beer. I was going to say beer machine, but not beer machine. Brewer's Cup event that evening. We didn't end up attending that. Steve was too tired. And so I sat around for a bit, and I played a game of Judgment against Marc Antoine, who is a former local who now lives in New Brunswick, I believe.
He was in Ontario before, in Ottawa.
Oh, is the Ottawa Gatineau area?
Yeah. Okay. He was studying there or teaching there, something like that.
I assumed he was local because he was Francophone, but
he's from New Brunswick.
Well, that makes sense. They also have a large Francophone population there. So I played the game against him. He is actually a big proponent of the game, and he is the person who developed their Android app, I believe.
Yes.
For the game. Then we played a little demo. I played Don Ricard, which is the Minotaur model I'd been painting. So he provided all the models. He has everything for Wave 1. He had mats and everything with him. He was planning on demoing the game that weekend if anyone wanted a demo. So I played Don Ricard. I played Seiyin, who was a... Was it Soul Gazer? Is that what they're called?
Yes.
And my third model was... Estariel, yeah. The elf wizard. He played dwarves. So he did the Dwarven Alchemist, whose name I can't remember. Lorabelle or something?
Lorica or...
Well, that's something that ends with Bella, I think. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Played her. He played the Dwarven Aggressor, Brock, the Monster Hunter. And he played Thorgar, the Dwarven Tank.
Thorgar. Thorgar is the other... The
Minotaur Aggressor. Minotaur,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so he played that. I managed to sneak out a win. I won't say it's because I totally outplayed him. I will say that I probably played better than he thought I was going to play. And he definitely had a suboptimal list that was, you know, thematic because it was all dwarves and, you know, was there for... He was demoing, right? So I won't really claim to have won that game. But it was a lot of fun. And it definitely got my juices flowing for more judgment. Hence why I'm painting this right now. And that was that for that night. Oh, I did some demos of Arena Rex. I help people do demos and stuff. Because, yeah, I could. Such a fun game. The next day, I was supposed to play Arena Rex, actually. So I showed up in the morning for my tournament. And then I saw that D6 Generation was there. For those who don't know, they're a kind of multifaceted gaming podcast. And they were playing Adeptus Titanicus.
Yeah, every year they run a big game of something.
Yeah, it's kind of their MO. And I'd been talking about Titanicus for a while here, and I really wanted to try it. And I looked at the Arena Rex group, and there were some people in that group I was less enthused about having to maybe play against. So I politely backed out of the Arena Rex tournament, let the organizer know I would not be playing, and then I went and joined the big Titanicus game. And I have zero regrets, because I spent 2 hours blowing up buildings and firing giant volcano cannons at stuff. And really, that's hard to beat. That game is a lot of fun. Yes, it's expensive. It's a GW game, etc., etc. But it was a blast. I have no regrets. Managed to play that to a tie, which they'd never seen or expected. It's really kind of funny because it's a totally scenario-driven game. And, you know, blowing up your enemy is really not worth anything aside from bragging rights. So that was kind of fun.
That was your first try of the rules, right?
Yes.
You have the basic box, I think, right?
No, I don't have any of it.
No, okay. I thought you had the basic box.
No, it was so expensive, and there was absolutely zero interest from our playgroup.
Mm-hmm.
Even my 40K friends look at it and are like, wow, you know, that's a lot of money. So, yeah. It's kind of got the same reception that Judgment did.
Mm-hmm.
For the same reasons. The difference being in Judgment, you know, it's easier to... You can buy... One person can spend all the money, buy the pool of models, and then everyone can have fun in a much easier and more enjoyable way than you know, at Titanicus. I mean, I could buy all the Titans for Titanicus and paint them all up and stuff, but it's just not the same. Like, Judgment's draft model just lends itself better to that, you know?
Yep, yeah.
It is what it is. I'm still trying to figure out what I want to do with regards to Titanicus. I may decide to do the investment. Because I've always loved Titans. And I had bought a lot of... At one point, I'd bought a lot of Epic stuff. But I could never find anyone to play Epic. So eventually I sold it. So I've got kind of like an unfulfilled dream thing going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a well put together game. And it's got just enough BattleTech feel to be interesting without so much that it bogs down like BattleTech does. Or did back in the day. I don't know what the new version of BattleTech looks like, so I can't really...
The same.
Okay, so likely it's going to bog down the same way as it always did. Let's see, what was next?
You had Kill Team that evening after that, right? Or did you do something else in between?
I'm sure I did something else in between. Now it's all running together. Oh, I played some more Arena Rex. I threw more people in a pit. Yay! I gotta admit, it's a lot of fun killing people in Arena Rex. And that game is so, so brutal. So much fun. And that evening I did Kill Team. And I'd only ever played that one demo game with you, right? So, mm-hmm. And I got there and it was a pretty good group. The organizer and his friend were... The organizer wasn't playing in it. His friend was playing and they'd done a lot of Kill Teaming. And there's a gentleman who had recently just played a league. He just finished a giant league at his store or whatever. And he'd actually come back to 40K because of Kill Team. So he had a lot of experience. And then there was a couple of 40K players there, 8th Ed 40K players. So my hopes were not very high of accomplishing much. I was just there to have fun. And played my first game against AdMech.
And of course, experience. That's what we played.
That's right. That's right. So because of that, I kind of knew what to expect. Oops. Sorry, I just had a bottle of wash explode.
Not good.
Nope. And not even the color I wanted in the end. Oh, well. Baby poop, you failed me. And it exploded all over my model, I think. Sorry, I'm trying to figure out if I can save this now. Oh, that's actually not as green as I thought. Yeah, so first game against AdMech. He had a very kind of stagnant army, which struck me not as odd, I guess, but it's... Okay. Kill Team is a very terrain-intense game, right?
Oh, yes.
So a stand-and-shoot army that doesn't move for the whole four turns of the game did not strike me as a very viable tactical choice.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out I was right. He stood the backfield. He had two of those models with the big guns. The
Arquebus?
The Arquebus, yeah.
Wow.
And it was a map with a giant wall of terrain in the middle. And the object was to kill all the enemy models. And then on turn four, or whenever the game... Because on turn four, you start rolling to see if the game ends.
Yes.
And there were some objectives on the board. And the objectives were the secondary victory conditions. So if the enemy models were not all destroyed, the person who had the most objectives under their control at the end of the game won the scenario. So I basically hid the whole game, made him come to me, picked off his models as they approached. And then on the last turn of the game, when it became clear he was not going to kill all of me and I could not kill all of his, I basically had cleared most of three objectives of the four and I held them. And then he couldn't get them. And so I won the game. On secondary objectives, but I think there was a bonus to the score also for models killed, and he hadn't killed anything, and I'd killed a bunch of AdMech. So, so that went pretty well. I was quite pleased with that.
I'm surprised to Arquebus because they are really good gun, but contrary to everything else in the game, they are move of fire. They're not just heavy weapon. They are so heavy that you cannot even shoot them while moving.
Yeah, no, I know that.
So,
like I said, it
was a bold move.
Yeah, and it didn't pay off for him. He took it really well. Like there was no problem, and congratulated me. We shook hands, and I went on to my next match.
Mm-hmm.
And the next match was a map where the kill team map was arranged kind of lengthways.
Okay.
And the goal was to get models off the map.
On the other side or something like that?
Yeah. So basically you exit in your opponent's deployment zone. And the orc player had 16 models. to my 6. So I knew it was unlikely I was going to basically win by getting off the table, because if I did that, then he would just walk himself off and trounce me on points. So I looked at it, and I decided I'd have to try to kill as much as I could, because killing models are worth 1 point. So I'm like, well, I guess we'll try to do a mix of getting stuff off the board and killing, and we'll see where we go. So that played out, and like I suspected, he made run for it with his orcs. And I stood there and tried to gun down as many as I could. In the end, it was a very, very close game. I, at one point, I decided that standing and shooting was boring, so I charged into a bunch of grots with a marine, because why not? You should always assault grots. It's rewarding. What makes you feel good, you know? Because everyone loves killing grots. And, I managed to kill a bunch of his stuff. He decided that discretion was the better part of valor and started running for the edge of the board. In the end, it was very, very close. I got no one off the board. He got 5 models off the board, so he scored 10 points. I killed 11 models, so I scored 11 points.
Oh!
Yeah, so it was very, very close. We had a good laugh about that. And it was a lot of fun. He was very into the orcs, so he was using orky voices and making orky sound effects and
mm-hmm.
doing all these fun things that orc players do. That's why I miss playing G, because, you know, you always get the orky sound effects the whole time you were playing. Probably the best thing about 40K. Orky sound effects. So then my next and final round, I played Chris, who's the only name I can remember from the whole event. He was the person who had just finished playing a campaign at the store that had gone for months or whatever. So he was... And he'd won the kill team event the previous night. So he was kind of the man to beat. He was playing... Give me a second. I'm sure I'll think of what they're called. Nope, can't remember what they're called. Death Guard? The green Nurgle guys.
Yeah,
Death Guard. Sorry. My 40K brain is not so good today. So he's playing Death Guard. He had a mix of... Well, there's no primaries for them. But he had a couple guys with power weapons. He had one guy with like a giant axe thing that was brutal. And he had someone with a power flail, which just does crazy amounts of dice of damage. And then he had, you know, some regular marines, and he had some poxwalkers. And I was very, very concerned because, toughness 5 marines versus my strength 4 bolters meant I was only going to wound on 5s when I hit him. So I'd feared that I'd be in a tough spot to try to actually remove his models.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to start the game very conservatively. We were playing a game where it was all based off cumulative objective points. It was the same scenario we played during the demo game.
Okay, yeah.
So,
like spearhead deployment and the,
yeah, the
objective
exactly.
are in each corner and the table corner and center.
Yeah. And he had the one in the center is worth the most points.
Yeah.
I deployed pretty far back. He advanced, moved some guys. That was the optional scouting rules, the scouting phase stuff.
Yeah.
So he advanced, deployed some guys, or whatever it's called. I held everyone back, which he thought was rather odd. And he kind of kept asking me, like, are you sure you want to do that? Because, you know, you don't have to do that. And I'm like, yeah, I know. He's like, but you're going to be giving up the objective. I'm like, nah, it's okay. So are you sure? I don't, you know, you can take that back if you want. I'm like, no, it's all right. Like, I know what I'm doing. Ish, sort of.
Yeah, ish.
In the end, I played very conservatively because I knew if I got too close to him, he would just eradicate me. Those power weapons, when they did hit me, he rolled very poorly, which is the only thing that kept me on the table because they were just going to delete me. You know, things that do, three wounds with minus three armor save or whatever it was. It was not going to work out well. So I stayed far away and I gunned and gunned and gunned and gunned and hoped for good numbers. And I was rewarded. So I got a bunch of his stuff dead and eventually broke his morale.
Oh.
And then, of course, he could not hold any objectives. So I walked right up to his living guys who would have eaten me if they could do anything. And started grabbing objective points. That was funny because no one there seemed to realize that shaken models can't control objectives. And I'm like, no, I know this for a fact because my super demoer had this happen to him. And then they asked the TO who had never heard of this rule and asked someone else who'd never heard of this rule. No one had ever heard. So they were arguing about how I was wrong. And while they were discussing how wrong I was, I Googled it and found the Reddit reference to it, which gave a page number. So then I opened up the book and showed them the page number, and they were like, oh, wow, learned something new.
But it's not your team being broken that did
no,
that.
No, it's shaken models.
Shaken models, right, okay.
Yeah. Sorry, I may have used the term interchangeably.
But you mentioned that his team was broken before, but that forces a shaken test.
Yeah.
So it goes together, but I wasn't sure if... Which part you meant?
No. The models were all shaken. Okay. I'd killed five or six guys by this point.
Yeah, so it's a big penalty on the nerf test.
Yeah, exactly. So he was only not shaken on a three or more on 2d6.
It's 1d for nerf.
Yeah, 1d6, but the...
Two dice is for the break test. And one dice is for the nerf test.
But you have to take... I may be mixing stuff up. Because I'm pretty sure he was... I mean, he was rolling dice. He knew what he was doing. I smiled and nodded a lot. But it seems to me he was rolling two dice and trying to get a three or less on two dice. So I'm not sure what he was doing then. Maybe he was doing it wrong.
Maybe.
Any case, by the rules we were playing by, whether they were wrong or right, he basically could not do anything. And I went and scored a bunch of stuff. And I was like, yay me! And he was like, yay you! And then I won the tournament. So that was kind of fun.
After playing a single game before the event.
Yep. Hey, I'm not going to complain.
No.
I had a good teacher. And, so I won a set of acrylic tokens for a kill team.
That's cool.
Yep. It was a nice little prize.
Were your printed tokens useful?
Oh, yeah, everyone liked them. Everything I 3D printed, everyone liked. For no matter what game I was playing. There was a lot of, where can I get those? Are you selling those? Like, not really. Well, if you were to sell them, how much would you sell them for? I'm like, well, I'm not really selling them. You know, I don't live near here. I can't really get stuff to you. I'm not going to ship it. They had lots of interest in my 3D printed doodads over the course of the weekend, which is always kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that totally is not turning out the way it's supposed to be. I slipped with a metallic paint at some point and didn't realize.
Oh.
Yep.
That's never good.
Nope. It isn't. And it is causing me some issues. Because it was on stuff I'd airbrushed.
Yeah.
So trying to...
trying to correct that is a pain.
Yeah. It really, really and truly is. You are not lying.
So that was your Saturday?
Yeah, that was my Saturday.
And Sunday you left early, right?
Yeah, we left early. Then we drove home. Nothing exciting happened that day.
So did you meet our usual Captain Con friends, like Seppi, Devin?
Oh, yes. Seppi was sitting next to us while playing Titanicus.
Oh, okay.
And, the D6G guys, always more for cinematic than actual rules, decided that the people with the best battle cry every turn got a bonus to our initiative. The problem being that Russ also had Seppi participate.
Oh.
As a... as an outsider?
Like a crowd worker or something like that?
Well, Seppi was giving demos to his own games, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the problem was that Seppi had a better battle cry than, like, by himself than the three of us on either side of it. So it was a 3v3 game, and we could not match the depth and power of his voice, because Seppi is exceptionally loud. and exceptionally entertaining, so it was fun. I unfortunately didn't get a chance to play some more processing.
Did you have a more production close version?
Yes, he did. It looks very different than what we played.
I'm sure. The Kickstarter prototype, when it was running, it already was very looked different than what we played.
But, it was very, very cool seeing, a lot of these people, it's more of almost a family than than people at a show.
Mm-hmm.
So, and not necessarily to me, because, no one knows who I am, or very few people know who I am. But seeing how they interact with each other, it really feels like a small, intimate event, which it is.
That's mainly why I'm sad that I couldn't attend, because it's people I've gamed with for years now, some of them, or that I interact a lot with online. Like, I'm really looking forward to going to Adepticon, but there are more people I know closely, or I know more, at Captain Con.
Yeah, you know better.
Right? Yeah.
I getcha.
Like, I've seen some picture of the big battle of Rank Lights they did on Sunday with Simon Randat and...
Devin, like, was in it with his son and stuff.
Yeah, and in fact, looking at the picture, all the players were the players that were in the event last year.
So that doesn't surprise me.
All had been people I already met and played with, so...
I know.
Yeah. We'll see how Adepticon goes this year, but it's a bigger commitment to go to Adepticon, and I'll probably go back to just Captain Con next year. If you, the other guy in the group, go.
Oh, I'll be going. let's face it, I'll be going.
But we'll see.
Sorry, I got distracted by my model. I'm pulling a Bob Ross you know, where I paint something and I'm just making it worse and worse and worse. And I'm just waiting for that key point where suddenly it becomes better.
Yeah.
It hasn't happened yet, but I keep trying.
Have you started painting trees now?
Well, I'm waiting to get the palette to put a tree right in the middle of the model. So you don't see the model, you just see the tree. You know what? I should do that. I should actually paint a model and then put a tree right in the middle of it, in the front of it. And when people ask, I'll be like, oh, I was channeling my Bob Ross, you know, like the tree right in the middle of the picture. I don't know how many people would get it, but the ones that did, that would get it, would appreciate it, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Will you either paint a tree or just put a giant tree in front on the base?
You know, that's what I mean. I put a giant tree in front of the base.
Yeah, like I thought you were just going to paint a tree in
front of the model. I got to do it the right way. Put a giant plastic tree right in the middle. Come on, Antoine.
Well, both work.
Well, yeah. I suppose both work.
So, yeah. How did it feel to go to a convention and play, Paul? Because you played a lot. I didn't know you played Arena Rex, but that's just adding even more games to your total.
Yeah, and it's important to understand that usually I go to cons and I don't do anything but sit around and chat, and I don't play a thing. I take models, and they never come out of the bag. Because, you know, to people who don't know me, it would seem awfully weird for people to, you know, go to a con and not play, so they may not understand why you're making that reference. But yeah, that's just who I am. I'm more of a social person than a gamer. I get anxiety about gaming with strangers, so that doesn't help. It was good. I had a lot of fun. The people I played with were all great people. Even losing horrendously in Guild Ball became kind of a joke by the end of the day, right? Like, I think the only person that did as bad as I did was the girlfriend of one of the guys that was playing Guild Ball. And I think she just started playing. She was playing Butchers. And I think she came in last place on the second day. So she beat me on the first day. She was sitting next to me. She was one table up. So she did better than I did on that first day. But on the second day, she was in last place. So they also are sending her a team. And I just want to say a shout out to Sean Dooley and Steamforge Games. That's a really nice gesture. Totally not required.
Nope.
But much appreciated. And in order to save them shipping, I'm just going to pick up the stuff at Adepticon.
Oh, okay, cool.
Well, I don't want to make them pay shipping to Canada. And I'm going to be there anyway, right? So I will pick up my cooks there. Who knows, maybe I'll even play it in the team event there.
Oh, instead of bringing other models, you might just use the cooks?
Well, yeah, who knows. I think, I just put my finger on my part of my model I just finished painting. It might be kind of fun to play something I have no idea what I'm doing with. It's a team event anyway, right? So it's not a competitive event.
Oh, no.
We're not playing for the universe here. We're playing for fun. Actually, that's one thing I can say about Capcom. It was really nice to... I didn't play anyone who thought that the game was more important than having fun.
That's great.
That says a lot about the crowd that go there. But yeah, it was a blast. I'm not used to having that kind of a busy schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no regrets. We'll probably do it again. It would have been nicer to have more people playing in events with me that I knew. And next year with you there, I'm sure I will.
If we play the same game, there is a lot of choice.
Oh, yeah, because I never play the games you play.
No, but I don't play events, though.
Yeah. Except the events you do play.
Well, last year we went, I played in one event. Everything else was planned pre-pickup games.
Yeah. This is true.
So.
But I could totally see you playing in a casual event, like the casual kill team or something, where it's not... It's not a real tournament.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. That usually it's not the game. It's the time. I don't want to be...
Pinned down
for that long.
I understand that.
Because, yeah, I would totally play Kill Team. I would play the Relic Knight game. That the only problem with that is that it's on Sunday afternoon, and we usually leave earlier. So that might be problematic. But we'll see.
And well, only slightly problematic. I mean, last year we stayed for the Relic Knight game, right?
Yeah, but it was earlier.
Yeah, this year it was. Well, this year started at noon. I don't remember what last year started at.
At 10. Well, it ended up starting in later than that, but the starting time was 10.
It was supposed to be 10?
Yeah. Yeah. If I go next year, I'll try to talk with Devin and try to have a Pulp City event.
So just have all of us come down with Pulp City stuff to play.
Yeah, for sure. I don't mind. Play with Devin, play with Brendan, Simon, everybody. I'll find a big monster, and we could do a giant monster bash. 4 or 5 player, something like that.
Yeah. Has there been any news about Pulp City?
The last news were in the show When Game Dies, some weeks ago, where they announced that the game was for sale, and they are still in talk with multiple potential buyers, and no news have gone out since.
No news as of yet?
No.
Yeah, that's what I was curious about.
Yeah, there was a Medfens, a French company that do Astralis, and I've just picked up a Mouser Heart. They were in the run for it. But I know other companies are too, and I don't know where it's at.
Well, I'm glad people are interested in it.
Yeah, me too. Especially as I discovered the game, how fun the game is late.
Oh, I know what that's like.
And I would have, like, at least I'm happy. I have stuff. I don't just have my monkeys. I have spare models for both goods and villains, heroes and villains. So I could do other teams, but I would have liked to maybe pick up some of the Cold Wars and the Supreme Alliance, the two new teams, the kind of superheroes and the Soviet ones, and other random models for other sub-factions. But hopefully they'll be back again and available.
Here's hoping.
Yep.
Yeah, that's definitely a game I'd like to try some more. You and your indie game, like, addiction, where you trick all of us into getting into stuff. I tell you, you should feel ashamed of yourself, but I know you don't.
I made you play Kill Team last. That's as far from indie as a skirmish go.
That's true. But you're always like, oh, we gotta play Arena Rex. Oh, we gotta play this. Oh, we gotta play that.
Oh, yeah,
you are the indie game man.
Sure. Really looking forward to a Burrows and Badger, an Aerial, yeah. Moonstone. Come on, there's a ton of them.
Can't get much more indie than Burrows and Badgers.
Moonstone. It's smaller.
Yeah, okay.
Burrows and Badger is, the book is published by Osprey.
Yeah, everything's published by Osprey.
Yeah, not Moonstone.
That's probably because they didn't ask.
Maybe. Yeah. So, I think we're rambling now.
I think we've been rambling for over an hour. That's kind of what we do. What do you have for news this week?
Okay, only one item. It's Hephaestus, the blacksmith of the Olympians. This is a pretty big scale miniature by Aradia Miniatures. It's Hephaestus, the blacksmith. He is forging a blade on his, how do you call it, an enclume?
An anvil?
the anvil on an anvil, but the anvil is held by an angel, so he's in the air. He's kind of forging while flying.
Is he forging the narrative?
Yeah, it's a really tall piece because of that. Because the creature is has her tail on the base, but after that she's holding the anvil almost over her head, and Hephaestus is forging on the anvil at like knees or mid groin level, so that the piece is really tall. Lots of movement in it. It's pretty cool.
Okay, I'm heading there right now. Sorry, I had to finish what I was doing before I could put down my model. Yeah. This model. So it sounds really cool.
It's 75 millimeter high. It's a really limited run. They're only doing 190 units in two batch. There's a pre-order price at €69. The regular price will be 75. And it's starting to ship mid-March.
That is an interesting... Okay, so the angel's got a fishtail.
It's a mix of an angel and a mermaid.
Yeah, it's...
Or a naiad, maybe.
And yeah. It's very weird.
Yep.
I mean, the model's gorgeous, and I'm not taking anything away from the sculpture. But, like, the angel holding up the anvil and him floating in the air, like, the whole concept is kind of different.
Yep.
But not necessarily in a bad way, just different. And yeah, that's going to be a huge model. 75 mil is the scale, not the size, right?
It mentions size in that scale, so either the piece is not that big and the scale is relatively usual, or it's 75 mil scale, and I have no idea. 75 mil
scale would be enormous. Yeah, no, it can't be for that price. So it's got to be 75 millimeters tall.
That's what I assume it is.
Yeah, because otherwise a 75 scale would be... Like, each person would be like 7 inches tall or something. There's no way. Not at that price point. That would not make sense. But it is very, very cool. Yeah. So many neat things out there now.
Mm-hmm.
You just gotta love it.
So that's it. That was the only item I wanted to talk about this week.
Oh, okay. Well,
Oh, there's something else. That's not a new release. However, self-plug, we are hosting the East Canadian Championship for Guild Ball once again this year at L'Abyss in Montreal. It's going to be held on June 1st and 2nd, and we just launched the pre-registrations. So if you are interested, either look for that super long name on Facebook, or just look at the long the show notes. We'll have a link there. Registration is $40. That includes lunch on both days and some swag and door prize and six fun games of Guild Ball, depending on who's playing though. Yeah.
Well, is that a shot, Antoine?
No, it wasn't.
Shots are fired.
Yeah, it was not. So we just started registration a couple of days ago. We are needing 50 registered player to get a full prize support. So that's what we're aiming at. We have 64 available spots. If we get 50, I'll be happy. But if we could get the full complement, it would be even better. So,
yeah, well, I've already done my part. I've registered.
Yeah, thank you.
You can come to this event and beat the pants off Paul.
Yeah.
Don't miss your opportunity. You can be one of the many.
Yeah. The West National, I've already started to the registration earlier than us, and they're at 50. Around 50 already, so that's a really big number.
That's awesome.
They did like 32 or 33 last year, so that's really good for them. They have They're over 50% more than what they got last year, which is really fun.
I'll be honest. I expected they would have a harder time than us.
Yeah. And no, I think they have a better local scene than we do. Because just looking at the registrations, they out of the 50, only one player is from the U.S. Like last year, we had 31, and 5 or 6 of ours were from the U.S. And we had, I think, as many players from the U.S. than we had locals. Like our scene is really, really not good, sadly. But we are central, so that's the reason we're doing it in Montreal again.
Yeah, and actually, it's funny. So we're speaking to Zach Cohen and a couple other people, and he wasn't going to be able to make it because he had to go to Hawaii.
Oh.
But then it turned out that flying through Montreal to get to Hawaii was cheaper than a flight from the States.
Really?
Yeah. So he's coming up to Montreal to spend some time in Montreal with his girlfriend or whatever. And then they're flying to Hawaii for their, I think they're going to a wedding or something. But yeah, so he's sidetracking through Montreal to play some Guild Ball.
That's so cool.
I think is awesome. Yeah. I think that is awesome.
Yeah, really?
Can't ask for better than that.
That's commitment right there.
Yeah. Well, he is a very committed Guild Ball player, so.
Mm-hmm.
Runs a lot of events, too. Oh, God. Antoine, stop me before I do this. Too late.
Sorry, I couldn't help.
Yeah, I. next time I should ask you before I start doing this stuff if I want you to stop me. Oh, yeah. This is terrible.
So, that's it for this week.
Yeah, that's it. I'm going to stop painting this thing now before I wreck it even more.
So the show notes will have the link for the 7. They will have the link for Hephaestus. And I'll also put a link for the Pippergraph building I talked about early in the show.
Oh, nice, nice. We should have a link for people to pre-register to request to crush me at Guild Ball.
Yeah, challenge points.
Get in line, beat Paul at Guild Ball. All right, Antoine. I will talk to you next week. It's been a blast as always.
Yep. And bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks of the North. You can follow me, Paul, at PRFilio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at B_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by La Drave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out a United Geeks Network family member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find Almost Podcast, a fan-driven companion podcast for the Almost Human television show. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.